In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of the Almighty Allah. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today, we're going to speak about waiting for a better tomorrow. So be with us.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Today, Sunday, is the 19th of Rabiul Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of May, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to a verse from a chapter of the Holy Quran, chapter Isra, verse 82.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارا.
And we send down of the Quran that which is healing and mercy for the believers, but it does not increase the wrongdoers except in loss.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The admonition of the Quran treats well the callousness. The history of the Quran makes one disillusioned. Its beauty of harmony and its eloquence attracts the feeling soul. Its ordinances and commands uproot superstitious beliefs, and its recitation and contemplation in it cure negligence. Resource to it cures bodily diseases, and its guidelines illuminate all kinds of darkness. The Quranic healings make a difference when compared with material remedies. They do not have any side effects and are not outdated. The Quranic remedies do not have any expiry date.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky adorned the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
You are with today's special, and we're speaking about waiting for a better tomorrow. According to a tradition, the prophetic said waiting for a better tomorrow is also a form of worship. The formula is not a religious one. It's based on human psychology. If man's mindset turns negative, he diminishes his abilities. But if he works hard with a positive mindset, he improves his abilities. This is a law of nature, and the law of nature is irreversible. It's an accepted fact that training enhances the scope for a man, but training is not confined to professional institutions. There is another institution of training, and that is one's own mind. Positive thinking is a natural form of intellectual training. This training institution is continuously at work and progressively makes man a better personality. This is a miracle of nature, and each one of us has it in his control. Everyone can have this experience. Try it.
Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad and his purified progeny. In this virtual, we are going to talk about how to make a better tomorrow. After losing an opportunity, it brings a lot of regret. So Imam Ali Salam again says, losing an opportunity is grief. So it means losing an opportunity brings only grief and sadness to a person. So in case we miss today, what would be the result? The result is grief and sadness. So we need to seize the opportunities before a grief chokes us. Again, the same saying, the same concept has been said in a beautiful narration, Badr al-Fursa, Qabla an takun ghussa. That is, you have to seize the opportunities to take best use of the opportunities before they are going to be turned into griefs, and that grief is going to choke you. When a person is prepared and thinks about things and is careful, he can understand the developments and changes that are going on around him or her well, and distinguish the opportunities from the fruitless times that are left for him or her, and the best way to use the opportunities. So take it before it is lost. So what we understand from the explanations that we have given up to now is that we have to understand our today. This is our today that makes our tomorrow. So we have to take opportunities. We have to think, ponder on every single action that we are doing. Actually, this has been even recommended in the instructions from the religious authorities in the Islamic sources, that we have to take care of the our daily lives. So this, what is technically called muraqabah, is what we are going to invest for our tomorrow. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
The institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
A new you, a power of positive thinking. This is the title of this part, and I invite you to listen to this short part. The first thing Islam asks you to do is to think about and calmly recognize your feelings about what has befallen you. It may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you. God knows, and you know not. This concept is in chapter Al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Holy Quran, verse 216. Who knows? Perhaps something good comes from something bad. Perhaps an opportunity is wrapped within a calamity. As the saying goes, every cloud has a silver lining. Who knows? Perhaps difficult comes through good management, lead to better days, and positive outcomes emerge from an unpleasant, difficult, or even painful situation. Great personalities have thrived in tough environments, putting the responsibility over their shoulders, not behind their backs. They accepted their bitter circumstances while giving free rein to their skills to transform their affliction into a gift.
Ya ilahi, anta rabbi, dhul jalali wal ikrami, ya
As previous episode of today's special under this title, we'll look at one of the things to do right now to make tomorrow a better day. On previous episode, we speak about meditate, and today we speak about exercise, exercising and eating healthy. Hopefully, you still have at least 1 meal and some spare time left over in your day. Choose healthy, nutritionally rich food for the remainder of your meals, including whole grains, lean proteins, and healthy fats. Fruits and vegetables are always good choices. This will give you a more energy and a better mood to start your day with, giving you a huge head start. Exercise too, even in the evening, can help you relieve stress and give you more energy. It will also help you sleep better, which means you'll wake up tomorrow morning feeling more refreshed and more fully rested.
Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam in Munajat al-Ta'ibin, he says, Allahumma in kana min al-nadami, in kana al-nadamu ala al-dhanbi tawbatan fa inni wa'azzatika min al-nadimin. If feeling remorseful for sins that we've committed is repentance, then I, by your grace, I feel remorseful for what I've done. I feel regretful for what I've done. Of course, Imam Zain al-Abidin is errorless. He's sinless. But he's teaching us. He's teaching us how to overcome a past and to look forward to a future. He's not saying this for himself. He's saying this for his companions, for his followers, for his lovers, those who follow his school of thought. Allah Azza wa Jal forgives, my dear friends, no matter what we've committed in the past, any sort of sin, any sort of mistake that we've committed in the past, if we are remorseful and regretful and we repent to Allah and we want to start new, Allah will start fresh with us. Allah will open a new page with us. Allah is willing to start fresh with us if we are willing to start fresh. If we are willing to start a new chapter in our lives and overcome our past mistakes and make amends for our past mistakes, Allah will start fresh with us. Allah will forgive.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. It seems that our time is over, so inshallah we continue this interesting topic in the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget, follow us on parstoday.com/en. We're going to speak about waiting for a better tomorrow. Till tomorrow, have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, علي إمامي. لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Everyone, and let us ponder on a beautiful formula of solidarity of the Islamic Ummah as mentioned by Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. This hadith has also been widely mentioned by both Sunni and Shiite Muslims and is famous as the hadith Safina, or the statement of the Ark. The likeness of my Ahlul Bayt is that of the Ark of Prophet Noah. Whoever boards it will be safe, and whoever deserts it will be drowned.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith. And this hadith is about the virtue of using perfume. You know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his mannerisms, his actions, the way he walked, the way he talked, you know, the way he sat, the way he slept, all of his actions, all of his sayings, all of his actions, even the Prophet's silence, right, in response to the actions of other people, all of these things taken as a totality, you know, in the parlance of Islam, we call this the Sunnah of the Prophet. And we call this the Sunnah of the Prophet, And Muslims, you know, they emulate it, they try their best in their lives to follow his sunnah, to follow his, you know, tradition. One of the traditions of the Prophet, one of his, you know, his habits, you could say, was that the Prophet, he loved to use perfume, and, you know, he would often, use perfume and encourage others to use it. Many hadiths have been narrated, the virtue of using perfume. In one hadith, we read the following. The Prophet said, "He who perfumes himself for Allah Most High, you know, for the sake of Allah, because Allah told him to do so, will be raised on the day of resurrection, smelling more fragrant than sweet musk." Right? So the effect of this is that if we perfume ourselves in this world, you know, in the hereafter, when we are raised from the grave, we will be raised smelling very nicely. Whereas he who perfumes himself for other than Allah, meaning for an unlawful purpose, let's say that, you know, there's a woman, she perfumes herself and goes outside in order to attract, you know, the glances of, you know, other men, right, who are, you know, non-mahram men. And this is something unlawful and incorrect. What will happen to such a person? This person will be raised on the day of resurrection, smelling more putrid than a corpse. Right? So perfuming oneself for the sake of God, you know, it has this effect. And then conversely, somebody who does this for an unlawful reason, right, it has this otherworldly, you know, evil effect. It's a negative effect. And one tradition has been related that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never used to refuse perfume when he was gifted it. If somebody came to the Prophet and gifted him, you know, a bottle of perfume or something like, you know, some sort of perfume, the Prophet would always accept it as a gift. So, you know, this kind of indicates, you know, the importance of smelling nice for other people, and, you know, smelling good is something, a sunnah of the Prophet. And we should all, emulate the Prophet in this regard. In fact, Imam Ali alayhi salam has also been reported to have said, "Perfume is an amulet," meaning it's a remedy. It kind of, you know, protects us from ailments, protects us from, evil occurrences that might occur for us. This is something that indicates the recommendation of using perfume and its virtue. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtue of using perfume in the words and the sunnah of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's recite the Qur'an Kareem, a series of Qur'anic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm very glad to tell you that we have again here our brothers from Sevier International School, Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and also Fawad Haider Naghawi. So, assalamu alaikum, brothers. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam.
Are you fine, Hussein?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Fawad Haider, how about you?
Salam, I'm fine, sir.
Okay,
how are you?
That's great, that's great. Thank you. And Hassan Nasrullah.
Salam alaikum.
Everything
fine.
All right?
Yes.
You're welcome. Thank you. And Ali Nasir, are you great?
Alhamdulillah, good?
Well?
Sir.
Well, okay, alhamdulillah. Great. He says alhamdulillah always, and that's the best thing. Alhamdulillah. So, I hope you're fine as well, inshallah. Thank you so much for joining us. Please stay with us, inshallah, till the end of this session. Again, today, inshallah, we will be having another Quranic session, working on Tajweed rules and also having a short explanation about one ayah or two ayat or verses of the Holy Quran. Now, we're going to, inshallah, do the ayah 34 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And it was talking all about the story of Prophet Adam alayhi salam and the evil, yes? And also how Allah Almighty created Adam alayhi salam and that story. So, are you ready, inshallah, to go for this ayah?
Yes.
Everyone? Okay. Yes. Yeah. Before we start, let's listen to this ayah.
فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
So, guys, let's inshallah practice this ayah, okay? Then we'll talk about it. I will recite and you listen and repeat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم.
وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم.
اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر.
اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر.
فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
أحسن ما شاء الله. The very first important point is this, that when Allah Almighty commanded all the angels to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, before Adam alayhi salam, okay? To make sajda, to perform sajda before Adam alayhi salam, because Allah Almighty created Adam alayhi salam, and that challenge that we talked about, yes? Who won the challenge? Adam alayhi salam, right?
Yes.
So, with the angels, so Adam alayhi salam was the winner. And so they were commanded by Allah Almighty to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, before Adam alayhi salam. So, fasajadu, it means when Allah Almighty told all the angels, so all the angels prostrated. But what was Iblis doing inside the angels, among the angels? Was it an angel?
No.
While Allah Almighty says that, he was made or created from fire. Huh? So he was among the angels. So there is a hadith says that he had prayed that much that he had deserved to be amongst the angels. Because the angels in the previous ayah we said, وَنَحْنُ نُقَدِّسُ لَكَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ لَكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Yeah? We always praise you. We always pray you. Okay? They are all always like doing prayers. So Iblis was
had prayed a lot, like Imam Ali alayhi salam, I think in Nahjul Balagha says, like over 6,000 years, he prayed Allah Almighty. He was a great slave servant of Allah Almighty. But what happened that he became an Iblis and he's no longer a good servant? And so what happened? When Allah Almighty told him that, let's see, okay, the result of your prayers. Are you obedient to me or no? Do you listen to me or no? If I command you, will you do my command? Will you answer my command or no? So Allah Almighty told all of them. So Iblis was amongst the angels, yes? So, فَسَجَدُوا, all the angels prostrated before Adam alayhi salam. Illa Iblis. Iblis didn't prostrate. Why? He said that Aba wastakbar, he became proud of himself. He said that, oh God, I can't prostrate to this Adam. You created him from a bad smell kind of soil, okay? And you've created me from fire. No way, I can't do this. Okay? That was the command of Allah Almighty. Like prostration to anything except Allah is haram, it's forbidden. But that was the command of Allah Almighty. And the angels did not prostrate because it was Adam, okay? For Adam. Yeah, they were prostrated because of the creation of Allah Almighty. The soul that the Adam had. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, the soul that Adam alayhi salam had. So the story continues that inshallah in the next ayahs we'll continue reading it. Okay? Now, that was a short explanation. Make sure you go to the Fasir book, okay? And study about it. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Okay. Do you see any tajweed rule here? وَإِذْ قُلْنَا, of course we see, whenever we see ayat of Quran Karim, we see tajweed rules, yes?
Yes.
That's why we have studied it. Yeah. So, we have studied the tajweed rules. So, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. Do you see any tajweed rule here around?
Yeah, in the لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا.
Yeah. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. Do you see that Hamzatul Wasfawad?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So what should we do with that Hamzatul Wasl?
Skip it.
All right. We should skip it. Why? Because we're joining the words, okay? Two words. Lil malaikati, malaikati, and usjudu. We're connecting them together, okay? Here we have to skip the Hamzatul Wasl. Simple as that. But if we do not skip, if we read it, how do you read it? If pronounce it? For example, you say, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. We read it with, we pronounce it with
ضَمَّة.
Why?
Because of next letter is
The third letter, Hamzatul Wasl,
third letter
seen, and the third letter has ضَمَّة on the top. Okay,
yes.
That's the rule for Hamzatul Wasl in verbs. So usjudu is a verb, it means prostrate. Do prostration, okay? Make sajda. So that's a verb, and here we have to put a dhamma on the top of Hamzatul Wasl and read it. So brothers and sisters, as you're listening, this is an important rule for Hamzatul Wasl. So, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. مَلَائِكَ is the mad, a wajib mad or a jaiz mad?
It is wajib.
It is wajib. Why, Fawad? What do you think? What was the reason for a wajib mat, wajib muttasil?
Because it's in the word.
For mat the wajib, it is the condition or the necessary thing is that it has to be muttasil. Yeah. If a mat is muttasil, it's wajib. If a mat is munfasil, it is jaiz. So wajib muttasil, we say it is wajib because it is muttasil. It is muttasil. And so that's why it's wajib.
So it is in the word.
What is in the word? Word
the
is in the word?
No. Hamza.
The Hamza, the letter Hamza. And before the letter Hamza, we have mad letter. A, E, U. These long vowels are mad letters. So we have and then Hamza. Both are in one word.
One word.
Yes, Hassan?
Yes.
So that's why you got to stretch it for six counts. This way, Hassan. Listen to me. Listen to Ali Nasir, how he stretches this sound. Go on, Ali Nasir.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةُ
لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ
كَتِي
right? Yeah. You forgot that side.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ
لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا right? This sound, six count. Hassan, did you get it?
Yes.
MashaAllah. So, that's the very, very first important point. لِأَدَمَ Sometimes we forget that alif, okay? لِأَدَمَ لِأَدَمَ no. لِأَدَمَ لِأَدَمَ right? Two counts. لِأَدَمَ okay. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ look, there is a recitation point as well. Look, how do I read this? وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ okay? Look, you kind of read in a way that you help our listeners that this sentence is pronounced this way. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا it means all prostrated. Just there is one thing, okay? If you recite this way, they will more understand more, okay? Especially those who are familiar with the verses of the Quran Kareem. Or those who speak Arabic, okay? They will understand it. The best reciter of the Quran was Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself.
Yeah.
So at the middle of the night, okay, during midnights, okay, when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was reciting Quran, his enemies, Abu Lahab, Abu Sufyan, his enemies, okay? Enemies of Islam, they were listening to him in the darkness. They were going, okay, next to his house, okay? They were listening. What is he reciting? What is this? Really? Even the angels were kind of amazed, okay? In Surah Al-Jinn, we have, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا Wow, what is it? Okay, it was so much surprising. And it is surprising when you listen to a reciter who recites it in the most beautiful way, okay? And you kind of love it. I myself, I really love it. So my recitation is not that good, but when I listen to people, even myself, when I listen, I recite sometimes with myself, okay, alone, I practice, it's amazing. I love it. It's not just not because of my voice, because of the Quran. The fluency and the rhythm that the Quran has. It's just beautiful. So, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ إِبْ Make sure it's قَلْقَلَ, okay? You pronounce it with the bouncing sound. أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ as well. Hamzat al-Wasl is skipped. Then if you do not skip it, how do you pronounce it? Pronounce it with? A?
كَسْرَ
كَسْرَ Why? Because the yes. third letter has a fatha. If the third letter has a fatha or kasra, you pronounce it with kasra. If ضَمَّ Like أُسْجُدُوا وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ So, do you have any question in this ayah?
No.
That's all about this ayah, inshallah. Our brothers and sisters, make sure for the explanation you refer to the Tafsir book, okay, interpretations. And also, make sure you practice the Tajweed rules. Hussein, Fawad, Hassan, Ali Nasir. Any questions? Nothing?
No, sir.
Okay, let's listen to this ayah once again and we'll finish.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ
Thank you so much. Inshallah, see you in the next session. Please stay with us. We'll be here again with you. So, thank you. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرج
Let's recite the Quran. a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين ولأبكين عليك بكاء
Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, we were discussing this part of the Divine Kumail supplication. فَبِعِزَّتِكَ يَا سَيِّدِي وَمَوْلَايِ أُقْسِمُ صَادِقًا So by your might, my master and my protector, I swear sincerely. If you leave me with speech, لَإِن تَرَكْتَنِي نَاطِقًا I will lament before you from the midst of the fire's inhabitants with the lamentation of the hopeful. لَأَضِجَّنَّ إِلَيْكَ بَيْنَ أَهْلِهَا ضَجِيجَ الْآمِلِينَ I will cry to you with the cry of those who are crying for help. لَأَصْرُخَنَّ إِلَيْكَ صُرَاخَ الْمُسْتَصْرِخِينَ And I will weep before you with the weeping of the bereft. وَلَأَبْكِيَنَّ عَلَيْكَ بُكَاءَ الْفَاقِدِينَ وَلَأُنَادِيَنَّكَ أَيْنَ كُنْتَ يَا وَلِيَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ I will call upon you. Where are you, O the sponsor of the believers? يا غاية آمال العارفين O the goal of the hopes of the knowers About this very phrase يا غاية آمال العارفين in the previous episode started discussing the recognition of the Almighty Allah we discussed how important it is to know the one to whom we are turning our requests We said that we have the concept of recognition in our traditions, and there are many traditions that are replete with the importance of role of the supplicant's awareness, of the object of prayer, and of the one who is asked from in the acceptance of prayer. In one of his supplications, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, says, You have lauded yourself for having no need for your creatures, And it suits you to have no need of them. You have attributed to them poverty, and it suits them to be poor towards you. So he who strives to remedy his lack through what is with you, and wishes to turn poverty away from himself through you, has sought his need in the most likely place and come to his request from the right quarter. In fact, Imam Ali alayhi salam, the one whose words we are reading and explaining right now, says in a whispered prayer, "Immaculate is he on whom relies every believer, and of whom every denier is in need. No one can become needless except by the grace of what is with him." This is what Imam Ali alayhi salam has believed in. This is one only part of a true irfan, true cognizance of the Lord. Ya ghayata amal al-arifin. You, the sponsor of the believers, you, the goal of the hopes of the Noors.
Oh my Lord, I swear by your honor that if you will grant me speech in hell, I shall amongst its inmates cry out bewailingly unto you, like the cry of those who have faith in your kindness and compassion. And I shall mourn for you the lamentation of those who are bereaved. And I shall keep on calling unto you. Where are you, O friend of the believer?
Thank you, Allah, that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, about this recognition or ma'rifah of the Almighty Allah, we must say that one part of recognition is that a supplicant should know that Allah is near to him, nearer than any other thing, and that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is aware of what his soul tempts him to do, not just what he does, not of his deeds, even what he is tempted by his soul within. This supplicant, the believer, must know that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is nearer to him, even closer than his jugular vein, and that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, intervenes between him and his self. Allah says in the Holy Quran, "And when my servants ask you about me, tell them that I am indeed near most." وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَى. And also the verse that says, "نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ." We are nearer to him than his jugular vein. Imam Ali alayhi salam says elsewhere in another supplication, "I seek your proximity through your embracing mercy, which has embraced all things. My Lord, indeed you see my position. You are aware of what is with my conscience, and you know my innermost secret. O Lord, nothing of my affairs is hidden from you. You are closer to me than my jugular vein." This is not just a mere word. This is not just a mere supplication. It is supplication from bottom of the heart. It is supplication that arises from belief in truly who the Almighty Allah is. Do you believe that the Almighty Allah is the absolute cause? Do you believe that He is the one to rescue you were there no one on the earth? If that is so, you can claim to be you are truly supplicating to Him. Ya ghayata amal al-arifin, ya ghiyath al-mustaghithin. Oh, the goal of the hopes of your knowers, and oh, aid of those who seek assistance. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is a dear friend and esteemed guest, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and, of course, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. Why, dear Sheikh, do we say that the biggest miracle that the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his family, he brought was the Holy Quran? What kind of a miracle is it? Because seemingly it is just a book. Or is it because it speaks of the future and it has some sort of hidden knowledge that we cannot see? Because if it speaks of the future, then everybody would be a Muslim, perhaps, dear Sheikh, if we have a book that can predict the future. But seemingly it is just a book, and Muslims, we say that it is the biggest miracle of the Prophet and of Islam, naturally. But isn't it just a book at the end of the day, dear Sheikh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Why Noble Quran is a miracle? You know that, as you mentioned, one of the miracles of Noble Prophet Muhammad is the Noble Quran. But still, I'm wondering that unfortunately some people, they do not have enough study about the verses of Noble Quran.